So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, it's Tommy Freedom, and it's great to have you back for another 30 minutes. Hope everybody had a good week. I spent the weekend at the gun show, and it did not go so well. I don't know what it is. These past few gun shows have been absolutely horrible. Now, I was talking to a vendor on the way out after I had packed everything up on Sunday afternoon, and she sells candles with rings in them. And every now and then, there's a really high-quality ring in there, so people buy these things. She did absolutely wonderfully. I guess people were looking for that, but not buying a lot of gun stuff. I only saw one person carrying a gun carton. Most people were carrying bags with little stuff, maybe a box of ammo, or who knows what, a laser, I don't know. But what this is doing, what it's showing me, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is that people are growing complacent with Donald Trump in office. And that is the absolute worst thing that anyone can do. This is not the time to be complacent. This is the time to be buying. The time to buy is not when Clinton was in office. The time to buy was not when Obama was in office. The time to buy sure as hell would not be if Hillary Clinton were in office, because it will be too late and you will be paying exorbitant amounts of money for that stuff. Now, while it's available, is the time to buy. If it turns out in the future that things change and we don't need it, great. But that's not why you're buying stuff. That's not why you prep. That's not why you get ready for these things. It's not why we buy guns or ammunition or accessories. We buy them because we know there is a point in time when we're going to need them. Not we may need them. We are going to need them. And I just don't understand that mindset. I never have and I never will. That's why I'm so successful as a prepper, because I always got the stuff before it became scarce. That's why I have stuff that I now sell at a high end, which of course that limits the people who buy from me, but it's because I got the stuff when it was readily available. 50 caliber or 50 BMG AR-15 uppers are extremely expensive now. And that's one of the items that I'm trying to get rid of. People don't have $3,500 to drop on a gun. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, when I got the thing, it only cost me $1,200. You see the difference? You buy low, you sell high, or you buy low and keep for when you need. And I will just never understand people doing this. I mean, that's how you invest. You buy low, you sell high. That's how you make money. That's how you make a profit. It doesn't matter what you're selling, whether it's stocks, bonds, or gun parts. That's what you do. That's how you make money. And even if you're not making money, you're making a smart decision. And it stymies me. that people are not taking advantage of the time right now to buy. So if you're listening to this show and you're thinking about getting something, get off your ass, go to the next gun show or find the thing online and buy it while you still can. So that aside, I want to talk to you about something that happened at the grocery store last week. I was wearing a Don't Tread on Me t-shirt, the one with the, honestly, I would say it was the Culpepper flag, the yellow flag, Don't Tread on Me. Well, this is a black t-shirt, but it's still got the same coiled rattlesnake, and Don't Tread on Me without the apostrophe for some reason, I don't know why. But I stopped into a grocery store. I had to go to the bank and run some errands. There's a grocery store right there. It's a higher-end grocery store, but for what I need, I only needed one item. I figured, what the hell, I'll just stop in there and get what I need. So I was standing at the checkout, and the cashier was ringing me up, and there was a black guy standing there that was bagging the groceries, which you don't see anymore. When was the last time you actually saw a bagger at the grocery store? Because I haven't. But anyway, this black guy is standing there, and that was his job, obviously, was to bag groceries. And he looked at me, and he nodded, and I nodded at him, and he starts saying, D-O-N apostrophe T. Keep in mind, there's no apostrophe there. T-R-E-A-D-O-N-M. It was like being in a Forrest Gump movie. And then he got really proud that he read the whole thing. And then he said, "Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me." I said, "Yes, it says don't tread on me." Obviously, he was mentally challenged. And yeah, I know what you're thinking. They all are. But this guy was obviously extremely mentally challenged. But he was very proud of himself that he was able to read "Don't Tread on Me," and he kept repeating it over and over. "Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me." And he had a really, really odd dialect. It almost sounded British. I don't know if that had to do with his disability or not, but the point that I'm trying to make is we live in a really good economy right now. Now, this guy, obviously, of anyone, should have qualified for some kind of welfare or something where he didn't have to work. Obviously, the guy was incapable of holding a real job. So again, here's my point. Of all the people who could have taken advantage of that situation, he's out there working. He's got a job. He's actually trying to work when he doesn't have to. All these other blacks out there who are fully capable of holding a job and are too lazy to are still collecting welfare. See, that's my point. And I've brought this up time and time again over the years on this show. That's the difference between a black man and a nigger. And I don't care what color you are, if you act that way, you are a nigger. This guy was really trying. If in this day and age, in this economy, you're not working, there's something wrong with you. If even a retarded guy who should be collecting some kind of unemployment or welfare is out there working for a living, that shows he's really, really trying. Now, speaking of trying, have you ever had something that really, really tried your patience? And I don't mean like George, I mean, because we all know he's always trying my patience. But for like the past week and a half, I have had an earworm. Now, for those of you who don't know what an earworm is, it's when you get a song stuck in your head or a tune, and it just keeps playing over and over and over incessantly in your mind. And for some reason, for the past 10 days now, I have had some stupid song by Madonna from the 80s going around in my head, and I can't get rid of it. And it's that song, Open Your Heart. I don't know if that's what it's called, but I have the lock and you have the key or whatever. I don't know, just like one of the worst songs that Madonna has ever done. And this thing will not leave my head. Have you ever had one like that, George? Because this is really the what? Baby Shark? Yeah, actually, that's infinitely worse than Open Your Heart by Madonna. Okay, yeah, Baby Shark is like worse than anything. you've got that going around in your head, then I do feel sorry for you. Now, it's interesting, though, George, because Baby Shark tends to drive a lot of people crazy. And folks, if you're not familiar with Baby Shark, if you don't have young children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, and you're probably not going to know what Baby Shark is. But it's horrible. I'll actually play it for you in a little bit, but I want to go over an article that I found here that comes out of West Palm Beach, Florida, if I can find it here. And, of course, it's not loading. There it is. So, apparently, in West Palm Beach, Florida, they're having a huge problem with transients. I call them bums, homeless people, sleeping in the parks. So the the title of this is Florida City Playing Baby Shark and Raining Tacos on Loop to Drive Homeless People Away. The tune of Baby Shark has tortured parents for years, but the song has now officially become weaponized. So the article says that city officials in West Palm Beach have launched a new plan to play the song along with another mind-blowing earworm called Raining Tacos on a continuous overnight loop to keep the city's homeless from sleeping on his Lake Pavilion patio. Now, the Lake Pavilion is a glass-walled venue that overlooks the waterfront and downtown's Great Lawn, places I'm not familiar with because I've never been to the bottom of Florida. It apparently hosts hundreds of events, and it's expected to bring in more than $240,000 in revenue for the city this year. And let's see, so Lee Rockwell, she's the West Palm Beach Parks and Recreation Director, said that patrons and staff should not be expected to navigate in the midst of sleeping people when exiting and entering the area. Well, of course not. Why should I have to put up with that garbage? Well, city officials said playing music is much more humane when dealing with homeless people who are occupying unauthorized spaces. No, just kick them the hell out. Arrest them, throw them in jail, or just take them and drive them across the state line and dump them in Florida or Alabama or someplace, or drop them off the end of the pier would be even better. You don't have to placate these people. They're violating your laws. Treat them like criminals. So she goes on to say, it's been effective and is a temporary measure to make the area accessible for those who have rented the facility and for future events. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the Director of Housing and Community Development. We're not forcing individuals to stay on the patio of the pavilion to listen to music. The music is heard only if you're on the patio. It's a very small area that's relative to the rest of the waterfront. So this endless loop of Baby Shark and Raining Tacos is supposed to temporarily curb homeless people from sleeping on the property until the city formalizes official hours of use that will help enforce trespassing laws. Well, look, all you got to do is just increase your homeless laws or enforce the existing homeless laws. Make it a place where they don't want to come. They come there because it's warm year-round. So what you do, if you're busted for vagrancy, is to put them on a damn work farm. Work the hell out of them to the point where they don't ever want to come back. But they interviewed some homeless bum, Elea Champion, and he told the Palm Beach Post that it's wrong to chase people away with the continuous children's songs. It don't bother me, he said. I still lay down in there, but it's on and on and on the same songs. Well, hopefully it will drive some of them out. But apparently this is not the first time that music has been used as a weapon. So, the I Love You song by Barney the Dinosaur, which we all remember, I love you, 'cause I'm gay, was used by interrogators at Guantanamo Bay as futility music to convince detainees of the futility of maintaining their silence. So apparently, the longer they remained silent, the more they were subjected to Barney being played over and over. Oh my God, that is just too great. But let me go ahead and pull up that Baby Shark for you. Because, folks, if you've never heard this, you will understand why this is being used as a weapon, along with Raining Tacos. So here is Baby Shark, and trust me, I will not torture you by playing the whole thing. Just enough so that you get the idea. Okay, that is enough of that. Now, that's what George has had going around in his head for the past several days. So you can imagine what it's like hearing this on a loop. But wait, it gets better, because it's also raining tacos.
It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why. Just open your mouth and close your eyes. It's raining tacos.
It's raining tacos out in the street. Tacos, all you can eat. Lettuce and shells, cheese and meat. It's
yum, 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 yum. My God. You know what that reminds me of? It's like listening to Tiffany from back in the 80s, I Think We're Alone Now, going through some kind of a garbled voice mixer or some electronic stuff. So, yep. So those are the two songs that they are playing, Baby Shark and It's Raining Tacos, on a continual loop. Keep in mind that Raining Tacos I just played for you. There is a 10-hour continual loop of that available on YouTube if you want to drive someone absolutely nuts. Now, before I go nuts, I'm going to take a quick commercial break here. I will be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. I won't be playing any more of that, I promise.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue, even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net, and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. George thought it would be fun to play Tiffany, since earlier on I mentioned that It's Raining Tacos kind of had that Tiffany sound with some sort of a computer-altered voice. Thanks, George. Now, instead of Madonna, I'm going to have Tiffany in my head. That go from bad to worse here, jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. But can you believe it was 1987 when that song came out? 32 years ago? Jeez. So she's actually redone the song, by the way. it was bad enough when she was 16, doing this thing in the shopping mall. I guess they were too cheap to do an actual real video, so she was lip-syncing in a shopping mall. Now she's redone it, and she's lip-syncing on the beach. And it's abundantly obvious that the refrain should have been, "I think I'm a Jew now." So I looked her up on the IMDb, and sure enough, she was born Tiffany Renee Darwish. So I know I just blew it for everybody who had a big crush on Tiffany back in the day, but yep, you can't get away from these people. You just can't. They're everywhere. And speaking of that, the JDL, the Jewish Defecation League, has decided that bowl haircuts are a symbol of white supremacy and that the AOK sign is also a symbol of white supremacy. Because apparently Dylann Roof had a bowl haircut. So now anyone who wears a bowl haircut is emulating him and is therefore a mass shooter and a white supremacist. And even more stupid is this whole thing about the hand signal for AOK. If you're from up north, the Italians do this all the time. It's perfecto. It's where you bring your thumb and your forefinger together to make a ring, and then your three fingers go up on top of it. And some people say, hey, you know, perfect, A-OK. You know the sign I mean. Well, apparently, if you turn it upside down somehow or another, it becomes a P, and going the other way, your three fingers look like a W, so it stands for white power. It's just absolutely asinine. And what's even more asinine is that a Disney character got fired for making the A-OK sign in a photograph that was taken with some minorities. This was like, I don't know, a month or two ago. I just haven't had an option or a reason to bring it onto the show until now. But yeah, some Disney character was making that sign in the background and got fired for making a white supremacist gesture in the minorities photo. And guaranteed they had no idea until I read the story that that was even considered some sort of a white gang symbol. I mean, it's just stupid, folks. Guaranteed, you know, just, hey, you know, just like giving the thumbs up. When is the thumbs up going to become racist or white supremacist? It's just, it's stupid where these things are going. The ADL, they are one of the biggest hate groups out there. They claim to love everyone, but no, they are one of the biggest hate groups, and the SPLC is the other one. And for those of you who have had issues with the SPLC in the past, and for those of you who don't know, it stands for the Southern Poverty Law Center. It was founded by Morris Dees and Mark Potok, who was one of the ugliest dog-faced Jews I have ever seen in my life. He's even uglier than Michael Chertoff. Well, Morris Dees has gotten himself fired for sexual harassment, so the SPLC is down one of its two dynamic duo. No skin off of my nose. Glad to see him go. Now all we gotta do is get rid of Mark Potok and just get rid of these organizations altogether, because they are really considered hate groups. If you look at the definition of a hate group by the FBI, both the SPLC and the Jewish Defense League, and oh, the Anti-Defamation League, that's what it was. It wasn't the JDL, it was the ADL. It was the Anti-Defecation League that came out and said that that symbol was white supremacist. But all these organizations are exactly what they say they're going after, just like all these Antifa protesters are the actual fascists themselves. These people will never understand that just calling someone a name because they don't like them isn't going to make that person that way. But the funny part about all this, if you want to call it funny, I mean strange, is that they don't even realize that what they're doing is exactly what they're railing against. These people will never understand that. They cannot look in the mirror and see a killer. They cannot look in the mirror and see an ugly person. They cannot look in the mirror and see someone with fault. They can't see that they are exactly what they hate. The bottom line is that they hate us, pure and simple. There's no reasoning with these people. They're never going to like us. We're never going to be able to work with them politically. We're never going to be able to make them understand that we're right and that they're wrong, that we love freedom and they hate freedom and everything it stands for. We're never going to be able to reason with them or to reconcile with them. And their goal, my friends, is to wipe us out, to eliminate us, to imprison us, to kill us off if necessary, to get their point across. They hate us that much. So once again, while you can, stock up on weapons, ammunition, survival supplies, and food. The time to do that is now, while we can. That will give us the upper hand. They will not be ready. You don't find liberal preppers for the most part. You don't find liberal gun collectors for the most part. You don't find liberal shooting enthusiasts for the most part. Take advantage of this time. Get what you can while you can. Do not be complacent. I cannot say that enough. If you're going to go to the gun show, don't just walk around with your hands in your pockets. Get a little folding pocket knife or something. Get something legitimate. Get a case of MREs. Get some more ammo. Get something, some camping gear. Take $20 every month and go out and get another cylinder of propane so you have at least 5 or 6 cylinders of propane. Get some gas lighting. Get this stuff, folks. It doesn't cost that much if you just allot yourselves a few dollars every month. When it goes down, you will be prepared. You will have the stuff. You will be able to outlive them. You will be able to stand up against them. You will survive the siege. They will not. Well, once again, my time has come to an end, so I will leave off here. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, I want you to stay free. I want you to stay secure. I want you to stay ahead of the curve. Most importantly, I want you to stay tuned, because I'll be back next week. Until then, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.